soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid.
Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back. Second hour now. It's a big second hour. We're going to start it off in a very, very big way. The Houston Dynamo got a 3-0 victory over Austin FC. Austin has got some real struggles. But we will talk some other things in and around soccer with our next guest. Do want to remind you, Slip Sliders, 1802 Bins in the Museum District. Great spot to get the best sliders in Houston, Texas. All right, let's get to the man who writes the Verde Report in Austin, Texas. He's Eric Goodman. He joins us now. Eric, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great. Feels like already been good to have a break following that World Cup. And I do have to tell you that one of the highlights of that experience, because I was up in the International Broadcast Center in Dallas doing some work for FIFA. And I have to tell you, one of the highlights was because we got the world feed in that facility, and hearing the dulcet tones of Glenn Davis on commentary for several of those matches genuinely gave me I was super excited to hear that we got those feeds in there. It was awesome.
Well, I hope you dropped it to your friends that I'm his primary guest on his radio show in Houston. There you go, right?
We had some fun with that.
Well, that's great. Yeah, it's been pretty amazing because I heard from people from all corners of the world on that. You forget how many millions it goes out to. Okay, let's go to a couple of things first. The World Cup and just how you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was a fantastic summer. Long, but I don't think anybody, really complained about the length. For me, it really obviously kicked off for real when you get to the knockout stage. I was not a fan of what the 48-team tournament did for and to the group stage. Just in terms of, I never felt like any of the favorites, any of the team that you would have thought had a chance to do anything in the tournament was in any kind of jeopardy in the group stage.
Good point.
I'm not even sure I could tell you who the top team that didn't qualify would have been. It seemed like everybody made it through in some form or fashion. Once it got to that knockout round, though, it was exactly what you want. It was close games. It was good games. All the best teams were tested. All the best teams eventually did go through. We got, I think, a totally deserving Final Four, totally deserving final, and an absolutely deserving. I mean, you could actually argue if the losing finalist was deserving with the way Argentina performed in that final, but you can't argue that Spain was a deserving winner. And I think it's going to be, a tournament that is remembered really, really fondly.
Yeah, Eric Goodman's joining us, the Verde Report. Yeah, when we got through those 72 first-round games, you got real games of consequence, single elimination. It did go into overdrive at that point. All right, by the way, get Eric's writings at the Verde Report in Austin, Texas. Remind us of the newspaper you're in. I'm sorry, I've drawn a blank.
Yeah, it's Austin Chronicle.
The Austin Chronicle.
On shelves everywhere. You don't have to go far to find it.
Yeah, and he does a great job of writing. That's why I bring him back all the time, and he's plugged into everything ATX as well. I want to play a soundbite for you and get your reaction, because this is pretty much how I saw the Dynamo Austin FC game. This is Brandon Vasquez, the striker.
Yeah, in the first half, we made a couple mistakes. We didn't stick to the plan in a couple situations, and we left a lot of space in behind and not enough pressure on the ball when we were supposed to. So, we weren't intense enough on the pressure, gave them too much time to pick out passes behind our line. I mean, it was a message about sticking to what we trained, sticking to the plan that we had all week for Houston, and staying compact, staying disciplined. And in the second half, I think we did well to do that. They didn't create much then, and I felt like we had more control of the game then. But obviously, the result is what matters at the end of the day, and it's not good enough.
Our friends at We Are Austin TV, we give them credit for that soundbite. These were elementary goals they gave up.
Yeah, completely. It's square one stuff, especially dealing with balls over the top. I mean, there's nothing more elementary to defending than that, and Austin just didn't deal with them. Kind of in every, they kind of showed you all the ways in which you can fail to defend a ball over the top. You can, you know, you can lose an aerial duel, you can lose track of runners, you can mistime your jump. Austin did all of that. Gave up the three goals in the first half. Could have been four if not for one of the best saves Brad Stuver's made all season. And yeah, it was, you know, you could say Austin might tell you, yeah, we started off the match well. You know, we're trying to get ourselves on the ball. That doesn't really matter if your response to going down 1-0 is just to completely lose all of your shape and your concentration. And that's kind of what it's been for Austin most of the season, especially on the road. They're the only team in the league that hasn't won a single game on the road in the 2026 season. And it certainly was, they're certainly not going to do so and fix that if they continue playing this way.
And the lack of pressure on the ball. I mean, if you're playing a high line, you have to have pressure on the ball. You can't let people hit long balls like that. It was pretty much over in 32 minutes for the Houston Dynamo. Bogusz getting two, Guillerme getting one. Where is this Austin FC franchise right now, Eric?
It's a great question. It's kind of all over the place. You know, another story that circulated following, and it really only circulated because Davey Arnault, the interim coach, now obviously catching up in the fact that Austin made a coaching change and a sporting director change prior to the World Cup break. And Jim Curtin is the man that is destined to take this job starting in 2027. I believe a lot of that, you know, the official word is he's waiting to, you know, take a bit more of a break, spend time, recuperate. I also, you know, there's very possibly some contractual issues with the Philadelphia Union, where he, you know, the last coach, that may restrict him from when he can actually take over in a coaching capacity. Davey Arnault, the interim coach, has said, you know, very clearly he's had no, other than just congratulating Jim Curtin on accepting the job, he's had no contact. Nothing that Austin is doing now has any of Jim Curran's fingerprints on it, at least from an official, you know, that's the word. So that's why I believe that there is some restrictions in what Jim Curtin can do at this point. And Dave Arnault, he's been with the club, you know, the entire 6 years that Austin FC has existed. He's doing what he can to kind of give some sort of stability and be some sort of a caretaker manager, but he's now even losing the belief in some of his players. There was a situation on Saturday where Jaden Nelson, the only Austin FC player that made a World Cup roster playing for Canada, he was set to check into the game in the 80th minute. Davey Arnault, he either saw or heard something from Jaden Nelson that he didn't like, sent Nelson right back to the bench and put him kind of on blast in the press conference after the game, saying that he wasn't in the right headspace to come in. So there's a lot swirling around this team that kind of screams dysfunction, and kind of the end. It's going to be a long rest of the 2026 season is what it looks like.
Eric, thank you for your time tonight. As always, let's get you on again. I got a lot more I want to talk to you about. We really appreciate your insight here tonight. As always, the Verde Report and the Austin Chronicle, one of the best writing about the game in this country, is Eric Goodman. Thanks for coming on, Eric.
Absolutely, Glenn. Talk soon.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks, Eric. And I would just add to that, you know, when you purchase a manager or hire a manager and he's not going to start till 2027, man, that's a lot of dead space in there. Like, for players, for fan base, I'm not sure it's a great move. Honestly, it you're going to tread water. And if you're going to have a season like this, it's going to be pretty rough. We'll take a break. This is Montego Bay. And when we come back, we finish off tonight. And, well, we're going to do some Dynamo and Dash talk coming up next. So we're going to go deep into that and a few other things. We will hope to get the World Cup here, the Women's World Cup in 2031. Take a break. Oh,
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
Here's Gordon. That was well done. Into Jude Bellingham. Bellingham with the equaliser. Cometh the hour. Cometh England's number 10 yet again.
You're listening to Soccer Matters, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Our sponsors, think about them when you are spending your money in these categories, because they have kept Soccer Talk on the radio, and that's how the world goes around. We're not on the air without them, and that includes our great presenting sponsor, John Daspit, and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713. Call now. If you need a personal injury attorney, and there are times in life we do, car accidents, boat, motorcycle, maybe you work in a refinery, maybe you're driving an 18-wheeler, you're going to need the best in the business. The best in the business is the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713. Call now. They're going to take your case. They're going to work for you 24-7. They're going to work nights and weekends to get the compensation that you deserve. And by the way, they're bringing Soccer Talk to the radio. And we thank them for that. And then it goes on to our podcasts. Podcasts can be found at Spotify, Apple, and right here at ESPN975.com. We've had some great guests as of late. Marcelo Balboa, Tab Ramos. We got Tom Beyer coming up from Soccer Starts at Home here to finish the show off tonight. So a lot of good stuff going on. All right, let's talk a little Dynamo and Dash. I was really happy to see Guillerme, and I think a lot of people get picked to the MLS All-Star Game, which will be tomorrow night in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now in Houston, based on his performance, we know he's an all-star on the first ballot, but it took some players, namely Leo Messi, to pull out in order for him to make the all-star team. So that led me to think, because of Awi in this market, we are out of sight, out of mind. And that hurts our players when it comes to MLS all-star voting, best 11. And I would think it also might remind players that, you know, these guys want to go to markets where they're playing in front of crowds, they get attention because they want to build their brands. Media coverage is thin here when it comes to Dynamo and Dash. Consequence, healthy pressure is non-existent, so the players need to take this into consideration that want to achieve. And I believe the Dynamo and Dash players all want to be, I know this, they want to be in front of larger crowds. I know it because some have contacted me with more media coverage. And I'm stating the obvious here because professional athletes are entertainers, even more so in this now day and age. Guillerme gets the call up after an outstanding first MLS start to the season. 9 goals, 5 assists, 14 goal contributions. Not sure you'd be where you are without him, and that means 5th currently in the West. There's 2 other teams on the same points, including FC Dallas. So 9 goals, 5 assists, 14 goal contributions. He's a dribbler. He takes people on. That's why we like him. And that's in his first 15 regular season matches at the time of selection. He's one of the hottest newcomers in MLS, no question about it. The other replacement additions for the All-Star Game, Yannick Bright, Inter-Miami, Andreas Kubas, Vancouver, you remember him, he played for Paraguay in the World Cup when they knocked out Germany and against us when we thrashed them in the first half. Philip Zinkernagel of the Chicago Fire, they all get called up as well. Dynamo defeat Austin FC 3-0 at Shell Energy. Shutout. I think what I liked about this game was you beat a team you should beat, and you beat them quickly in 32 minutes. Bogusz in the 12th, quick attacking move, clever pass from Guillerme, and a clever pass from Ezequiel Ponce. Good balls all around. Pretty easy goal with a back three that was in a real mess with these guys running at him. 29th minute, again, Bogusz, and boy, did he need to start scoring goals. Long ball from Guillerme. Pretty obvious what happens here. Lack of pressure from Austin FC. Long ball catches a high advancing line. This is elementary. Bogusz beats the Austin defense and finishes into the far side netting to his left, coming in on the right. 32nd, it's Guillerme, and this kind of caps off this three-goal barrage, his ninth of the season, and the assist to Bozat. And again, another direct ball. So this was a real bad marriage between pressure on a ball and sticking long balls behind a defense. It was pretty obvious what happened, and a lot of post-match stuff, you could hear people talking about that from the Austin perspective. From the Dynamo perspective, they overwhelm Austin early. Guillerme continues a great season. Bogusz finally gets his goals, and the second half was academic. Jonathan Bond, I think, had five saves. So it helps in the points department. You certainly needed them. Austin FC is one of the bottom feeders in MLS based on everything I'm seeing. Dynamo didn't just beat Austin. They punished the mistakes. Very efficient. Creativity, finishing, link play with Ponce getting an assist is good. Would have loved to have seen Matthew Araña get minutes in this one. I just don't think it's in the cards. We continue to ask ourselves the question why this club, the Houston Dynamo, who espouse community and all the buzzwords, but are not committed to Houston's youth when it comes to first-team players. Now, look, you go about your business however you want. The people in the leadership positions can make those choices. Yes, we get a lot of marketing moments from signing academy players, but what we don't get is one of them getting through to play a key role in this team. And that's kind of interesting because that did happen in Columbus where Pat Onstad was. And yes, I'm talking about a Houston local. I'm not talking about Brooklyn Reigns, who was bought and brought to the Dynamo. When you buy somebody, in order to validate him, you may give him a little bit more opportunity. And you saw what Brooklyn Reigns did with the opportunity. He blossomed and he grew, and it took time and it took opportunity and it took commitment. I hope that can happen to some Houston players because that would be a wonderful player to hold up to the rest of the academy and everybody. You also get cap relief out of these things by signing the academy players. The Dynamo have done that, but they don't see the field and probably won't. Marketing. A lot of people like Memo Rodriguez and Stuart Holden. They were locals. Fans love them because of the Houston connection. You want to be in the buying and selling game, but I guess the Dynamo aren't really concerned about that. Others are unafraid or expected or instructed in this league to use youth. New York is doing it. 18-year-old striker Julian Hall, Adrian Mamete of the New York Red Bulls. By the way, some of these guys are going to make a World Cup roster in 4 years. Kayvon Sullivan, Philadelphia. Javon Bodwell, 19, Vancouver. Sullivan, 16. Harbor Miller, Irvin Torres, they're all teenagers. I think Miller's Seattle, maybe, or Irvin Torres is Austin FC. Got Real Salt Lake using a number of younger players as well. Got the striker who scored against the Dynamo a couple times. But for some reason, they're now starting to use Ezerkani. Scored his first MLS goal, part of their kind of youth movement. So they're making things happen. Some teams have an edict where they're told you have to play youth. It's a mixed bag on that one. At the end of the day, you want to win, but I think it's all applicable to the franchise that you are and where you currently sit in the big picture. So let's see what happens in the future. Nico Estevez was fired from Austin FC. Of course, Rodolfo Borrell, the sporting director who came in big from Europe, the Spaniard. Now, he was also fired or released or whatever. I mean, fired is not a nice word. People don't like hearing that now, but I think that's essentially what it was. He now has landed as an assistant coach at the Chicago Fire, former assistant to Berhalter with the U.S. men's national team. It's good business if you're an assistant with the U.S. national team and your chances of landing a head coaching job is good. Josh Wolf, Atlanta United, Austin FC. Josh is now an assistant in the league. B.J. Callahan, Nashville Soccer Club, head coach. Lucha Gonzalez got a crack in Dallas and San Jose. Anthony Hudson is in Colorado. He had a couple of head coaching roles. Mikey Varas, San Diego. These are all assistants to Greg Berhalter. So now you know why being an assistant on the national team is a pretty coveted position, at least during that time period, if you were an American, because it could lead to opportunity in Major League Soccer. Now, don't forget, Pat Onstad and Asher Mendelson are also a part of that tree in a way. So, pretty interesting. You get in that sort of system and it seems you'll get opportunity. That's kind of the way I think things work these days. All right. And that doesn't mean there's no merit to those choices either. So I think you got to keep that in check. But I do think our sport in this country is a little handcuffed by that. We have a lot of people that talk big, but don't want to mention certain things that would really be reaching a point where we can really discuss things. Houston Dash, 1-0 winners over Bay FC. Love this player, Linda Olmark. 91st minute goal for her. Dasher 12th in a 16-team NWSL, but they're only a couple of points off the playoff spot. That's how the league's designed. You're always within striking distance. So I mentioned on this show, because I called a lot of ACC women's soccer last year, and I said I loved the fact that the Dash picked up Linda Olmark, Leah Klenke, who's got local ties here, played at Notre Dame, Olmark at UNC, Kat Radar at Duke, who's got 6 goals and an assist on the year, leads the Dash, and Kate Fossey, 2 goals and 2 assists at UNC. I saw all 4 of these players. These are competitors. These are ambitious players. Wonderful crop of players to get in and build on in the future. Now, the Dash still have the same problem. I'm going to add Maggie Graham from Duke to that. This team needed to be freshened up with youth. That was a good move. Still play in front of nobody down at Shell Energy Stadium. I wish that could change. I feel for these ladies. And I feel for the guys, too, when the attendance isn't good and the coverage is not bigger and grander. I really feel for them because that's a whole part of being a professional athlete. You want to be in a market that's high-end. Also, you want to build that side of it so people want to come and play in this market. So Maggie Graham of Duke, another one. Of course, Jane Campbell's still doing it in goal, and as are a number of other players. But the problem still remains the attack, chance creation, to be very general here. And I noticed that just signing for the Dash is Kia Harper from Gotham, and she's an attacking player. Now, whether it's singularly players or it's your system of creating more chances and how you're trying to achieve that and accomplish that, that's to be debated, I guess, and talked about. So those are exciting players, and those are players that have had great college careers. And, you know, when watching and calling some of their games in the ACC, I knew these were all next-level players. They got great attitudes, and I absolutely love that. And I think that's what we see as fans. But all right. So there we go. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to wrap it up. We're going to get into that golden age of excitement around a ball and connection with a parent. Soccer starts at home. This will be from Japan. Tom Beyer is going to join me next. He's got some connections to me on the East Coast and to others that are common friends, but he's been doing it in Japan for a long time. Really, really interesting stuff coming up. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. By the way, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Get out there. We're getting close to the Premier League. It's going to be another challenge for Major League Soccer, is all the European soccer that's about to hit the airwaves again soon. But Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10, Marquee Entertainment Center. Great, great spot. Get out there.
and hit up some of those good whiskey and beer offerings and all that great pub food that Hugh O'Connor's has. Also, I'll remind you about Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. They got three locations in Houston, the best in Greek food. You get the Slovakis, the Spanakopita, the Euros, the lamb shank, the chicken soup. I put so much lemon in that chicken soup. It's phenomenal. It's like a come back to life soup. That's the one I get over there at Nico Nico's with Dimitri. But the three locations, you got the Woodlands. That's the newest. You got I-10 and the Beltway. And then you've got my favorite, the one that's closest to me, the original. And that's where it all happened. That's where it all came forward with the Nico Nico's family, right there on Montrose. So Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. Get over there. Get some of the best in food. And by the way, you can get them catering some of your events as well, which is fantastic with all the sports coming up. We got all, you know, Premier League, Bundesliga, Serie A, La Liga coming back. We got college football around the corner. You got NFL. You're going to want to get some of these big packs, and it makes it easy for you. You don't have to do the cleanup. You just have Nico Nico's do it for you. All right, we'll take a break. More to come.
ESPN 97.5.
Falling behind once more. Oh, they've equalised! Sydney Lopez Cabral! And this team just will not lie down!
This is Soccer Matters, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Final segment of the night tonight, and this will be a good one. Daspit Law Firm, I want to give my sincere thanks to them. They have gotten soccer talk on the radio. We've been able to cover the World Cup beautifully with these two shows, these 2 hours. We start with Soccer Matters here, presented by the Daspit Law Firm, then following night have an hour with Destination 2026. So a big thank you to John and his firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713, call now. Nobody wants to get in accidents. These things happen. You will need a personal injury attorney if they do. And then they will, in a big way, fight for your right for compensation, John and his firm. Car, boat, motorcycle. Like I said, nobody wants to get in these things. But when you do, you might need the best in personal injury attorney. It is the Daspit Law Firm. Years of supporting Soccer Talk on the radio. Also, big shout out to Senate Avenue Brewing, award-winning craft beer, 16,000 Dillard in Jersey Village. They had a great World Cup out there. Andrew has been on the show recently to talk about it. You take the 290 exit. It's the Senate Avenue exit. Andrew Mitchum, that's who I was mentioning, the mayor. He loves soccer. They got a great patio there. They got great food. Tuesday night's Bologi Bowl. And, of course, it is award-winning craft beer. And when you walk in, you look at your left, and they got these beautiful, shiny silver vats. And that's where the process takes place, right there, in-house. Can't get it in the stores. And you can taste the difference. Big thank you to Senate Avenue Brewing. All right, the future of soccer isn't shaped only by academies and pro clubs. We've seen the exit of a lot of great soccer playing nations, disappointing World Cups for Germany, the Netherlands. We can go on with other countries as well. And even we are a little disappointed with the way the U.S. exited, although they took us on a good ride. But academies, professional clubs are meaningful, but maybe not as meaningful as what happens earlier. There's that golden age between 2 to 6. Our next guest has been a big proponent of soccer starting at home, a parent and a child's connection and a first experience with a ball. And it comes alongside periods of curiosity, wanting to master the ball, encouragement, connection with the parent. And those simple moments lead to a lot of cognitive development. I'm not playing scientist here or child psychologist here. Tom Beyer knows more about this, and he is our guest. Tom's career is an interesting one. Played in the United States, went to college here, Ulster Community College. Then he went down to the University of South Florida, Ended up going to Japan to play professional soccer, stayed over there, and became just this leader in this philosophical movement of a parent around the age of two, a ball, and a connection with children. And that this is a very important relationship that parents can embrace on a daily basis. So I've got two great interviews with him. I'm going to run part one tonight. We'll run part two next week. Here is Tom Beyer, Soccer Starts at Home. Well, Tom, thanks for coming on Soccer Matters tonight on ESPN 97.5. We're privileged to have you. We're excited to have you because we do know player development in this country is a hot topic, especially after a World Cup exit, like in many, many countries right now. How about just your overall thoughts on the World Cup?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Glenn, to be here talking to your audience. The World Cup, I mean, boy, 60. I mean, actually, the next one was 64. The increase in the teams, man, I watched a lot of games. I think if I didn't watch all 104, I came pretty close to watching most of them. You know, you've got certain teams that you cheer for. Me being here in Japan, I'll bring up Japan first. And then, of course, my homeland, the U.S. So those were the two biggies for me. And then a couple of the other games that I followed. But I thought it was an interesting World Cup. I think that there was no surprises coming down to the end of the knockout stages. You know, we had four World Cup champions that made it to the semifinals. I was hoping that it was like in Qatar when we had Morocco as the dark horse. I was hoping Japan would run a little deeper. I can talk about that because I've been in Japan for over 40 years and our expectations were quite high. I had several players on that team that actually come from the schools that I created here in Japan. So some proud moments as well. But the downside on the Japanese team is we had way too many injuries. And that really was kind of the dark part of Japan's World Cup. All three of the captains, none of them played in the Brazil game. So that was a huge, huge disappointment. Not to make any excuses, but when you've got four or five of you, Mitoma, who's probably one of the best wingers in the Premier League, didn't play as well. This kid Kubo didn't play. I mean, so it was from a point of view of Japan, it was a big disappointment for us, especially being up 1-0. This is the third time in a row that Japan has been knocked out in a similar fashion. We were beating that big game against Belgium where we were leading 2-0 and they came back and won that one. And then the Croatians as well, in Qatar, we were winning that one and the lead and they came back and won in penalties. So it's a bit of a sore point. The U.S., I thought we played very well. Some of the best soccer that we've seen. I think a lot of people commented on that. But I also, if I take my fans hat off and put my professional hat on, and the buzz was pretty much around most professionals that we knew that we'd probably struggle against a halfway decent European team. And it was a little bit unfortunate. And I was worried because I could see that we were gaining such momentum and so many new fans in the game, you know, during the group round. But Americans, again, you know, not to try to be too disrespectful to my home country, don't really understand the game well. And I think everybody got their hopes up thinking that this is like any other sport. Man, we're going to make it to the final. Yeah. And a lot of us who are in the game, and including yourself, I'm sure, we knew that there's going to be a big turning point. And again, once you get against some of those European clubs, boy, it's tough to beat them. And
yeah, we sometimes forget we're playing against the entire rest of the world.
We are, you know, it was kind of a belly flop too. That didn't make it any better. And, you know, like when Japan got knocked out, it wasn't by several goals and it was one major mistake at the end, but the U.S. it seemed like it was a different level and everything in the group stage was pointing in the direction that finally America's arrived. And then it was the belly flop. And people were pretty brutal, I have to admit, maybe a little bit too much, especially when you've got all of these sportscasters out there that don't know anything about the sport. And they're chiming in now about why we don't develop players. And it's, you know,
we don't use our best athletes.
Yeah, that argument, that kills me. That kills me, man.
You wish you don't know about football or soccer in America, but that's all you got to say is we don't use our best. So what are we looking for? LeBron to, you know.
Exactly. So that was, you know.
It's hilarious. But, you know, everybody's got to weigh in. Hey, the good thing is I think you made a really good point. There was a lot of excitement in the early stages. We might have gained some new unique soccer fans, and that can't be a bad thing in the long term. All right. So here's this guy, Tom Beyer. College game, Ulster Community College, great reputation, South Florida, University of South Florida. And he ends up in Japan becoming this very noted youth. So I have to be careful here because you're a lot of different hats here, but a developer of this great soccer idea called Soccer Starts at Home. How does this happen?
Well, first of all, but thank you for pointing out my alma mater, I guess they call it, Ulster County Community College. I always like to get that in there when I can, and then University of South Florida. But at the time when I was playing at South Florida, it was not a good, healthy time to be an American wanting to become a professional player.
Know that.
The old North American Soccer League had folded. I had a short stint with the Tampa Bay Rowdies as like a reserve player. You get paid no money. So long, long story short, I made my way over to Japan, and I was very lucky. I was actually connected to Japanese soccer through my head coach at Ulster County Community College, a guy by the name of George Visvari.
Legendary.
Yeah, so you know him. Exactly, absolutely. Most people might not know, but in our generation, he was a rock star. And so he knew the head coach of the Japan national team, even before he became a national team head coach. His name was Hans Off, the Dutchman. And I got introduced to Hans Off's assistant coach, who was Japanese, who introduced me to the team that I played at, which was Hitachi. Hitachi, which all of the J-League clubs, most of them are owned by massive conglomerates, Nissan, Toyota, all the big Japanese brands, you name it, there's probably a team. And my team is in the J-League as well. But I was the first foreigner to ever play here. And I just fell in love with Japan. And after a couple of mediocre seasons with Hitachi, hung up the cleats. And I just fell in love with the country and I wanted to stay. And there's always a lot of luck involved in a lot of stories, whether it's business or anything in life. And I came across the Curver program. I mean, I've got a very long story, but I don't want to kill all the time. But the most important parts are probably I introduced the work of the Dutchman, Will Curver.
And I remember when that hit here in the U.S., everybody was doing it in the youth community, including the youth club I was with here in Houston called the Hurricanes. It was a big deal.
The Hurricanes, Nicky Megalutis. One of my brothers, who I think played at the Houston Hurricanes.
The pro team. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so what happened was, is before I got involved with the Curver, there's a timeline, a very important timeline. I was here in the mid 1980s. 1988, I stopped playing. In 1989, I pitched the idea to Nestle, the chocolate drink, to sponsor me and a couple of ex-pros, Japanese players, to go around the country doing these soccer clinics, these soccer events. They're big in America, too. I don't know if you're familiar with my big brother, Tommy Mulroy.
Of course I know Tom Mulroy.
Yeah, so Tommy Mulroy, for people who don't know him, they call him Soccer Tom. Tom was my idol. I mean, when I was growing up, Tom was like a big figure. And I'm not – here's just the pitches. I don't know if you saw the book yet. But so I kind of wanted to be the Tom Mulroy, the juggler, the guy going out and having fun and inspiring kids to play.
He did a lot to influence people in the game.
Oh, huge, huge, huge. And I mean, I grew up, I mean, he's literally like a brother to me. His two cousins played with me at Ulster and as well. So basically, I convinced Nestle to sponsor me and a bunch of ex-pros to go around the country for 10 years doing these soccer events. At the time, it started in 89, and this is important for my story, I didn't have a philosophy or methodology. It wouldn't be until around 1993 that I got interested in the work of Will Curver because of a Brit by the name of Paul Mariner.
Yeah.
We all know Paul. Yeah, unfortunately passed away a few years. He was literally my closest friend for many, many years. He worked in Japan for 10 years. He got me interested in the work of Will Curver. And then I went out and I found an investor who bought into my vision, which was I wanted to create a hotbed for technical players here in Japan. And to do that, we had to create a movement. And so I found an investor who invested heavily into this concept. And what we came up with at first was to start some soccer schools, but not your everyday schools. When I say soccer schools, we focused primarily on technical skill development. Curver is a body of work. It's focused on ball mastery. It's focused on moves to beat players one versus one. It's focused on passing and receiving, first touch, shooting, combination play, all of the technical stuff. So I became a technical coach, a specialist in that field. And we started with one or two schools around Japan. Everybody thought I was crazy. They said, "Ah, nobody's going to come to this." And it was like the old build it, they'll come. And so we started with a few, and then a few more, and then a few more. And that was 33 years ago. Now, I'm not here to promote the Curver business because I don't even work at it anymore, but I started it here, and I was the face of it for half of the time it was here,
In
15
Japan.
in Japan, yeah. And then we spread it out around Japan, Asia, but nothing has ever come close to what we've done here in Japan. So fast forward today, and there are 151 of these schools throughout the country today. 151.
Wow.
And at any given time, there'll be 20,000, 25,000 kids in it. But what's important is that those schools started in 1993. But in 1998 was the first time that Japan qualified for the World Cup, France World Cup. That also coincided with a big break where yours truly, was ca I was casted on Japan's number one television show for children called Ohasta, which is born out of Pokemon, which is pop culture. So this is not a soccer TV show. This is a pop culture show that's focusing and introducing about Pokemon, animation, manga, which is comic books. And every morning, my corner would be the first corner. So it was named after me. It wasn't named Curver. It was named after me, Tom Sands, Soccer Techniques. And when I started
Very
that,
cool.
I thought, wow, man, I'll be on this
Oh,
maybe
wait, so
for.
I'm thinking here, but this is a great way to get to the masses, right?
It is. It was at the time because still terrestrial television, and even to this day, is very big here in Japan. Whereas now we've got other mediums and modes like all the social media stuff, right? But back in the day, and even today, that program is one of the number one shows for children in Japan. So when I first started it, it was a very short, tight kind of corner. Tom San Soccer Techniques, cool, edgy music, colors, animation, this and that. But I did the corner. And every weekday morning, I would present a different move of the day. And, in the beginning, I thought, wow, this is great. I'm on TV. I'll be on TV for, a couple months or 6 months. But that corner was very popular and it lasted for 14 years.
All right, that does it tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Big shout out to Slip Sliders down on 1802 Binns near the zoo, Herman Park, and the museums. If you're in that area, 1802 Binns. Slip Sliders, the best sliders going. You will love them down there. They got different versions, the backyard burger, Swiss Miss. You get the seafood shrimp shack, which is one of my favorites. You can get salmon, the Captain Jack. You can get into the chicken category of protein with the chicken Southern Comfort fried, grilled chicken, Caribbean chick. So many good options down there. And I'll tell you, the other great thing about them is you can get a giant box. You don't have to cook. You don't have to do anything. When it's NFL game day or Premier League game day, during the World Cup, people were ordering them. You just get a big box of these. You get some drinks. You get some beverages. You make a salad. You got a dinner, and you don't have to do all the cooking and the grilling. You let Slip Sliders do it. Slip Sliders, 1802 Binns. You can also get them on DoorDash and Grubhub. Now, how about a quick shout out here for my friends at Cactus Music, Houston's historic record shop, the best in vinyl, both pre-loved and reissued CDs are making a great comeback. Get down there. They've got everything in that store. Cool t-shirts, live in show or in-house performances. It's 2010 Portsmouth, and you can go in there and say hello to Quinn, and you can say hello to their staff and tell them that Soccer Matters or Glenn sent you. They will take care of you. Big thank you to Brian McDonald here tonight, as usual. All our guests on the show, And keep supporting Soccer Matters and Soccer Talk on the radio. Have an opinion. Don't just leave it up to the host all the time. Come in with an opinion. Agree, disagree. This is what it's all about. Podcast of this show, ESPN975.com, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts as well, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram, @GlennDavisSoc, and also Soccer Matters on Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. That does it tonight. We'll see you tomorrow night, 6 o'clock Central Time, for Destination 2026. Have a great night, everybody.